let's talk a little bit about this banking system. And even a few days ago, Goldman Sachs said most of the bailout money they got, they sent it to banks overseas.
Yeah, if you remember back in November, I tried to paint a picture for your audience that what was really going on in this country, and I've been talking about this for almost 15 years, but what's really been going on in the last few years, and it's starting to finally become clear, is that the largest banks and our largest corporations, U.S.-based corporations, ones that we think of as Americans being owned by Americans and have American interests at heart. And I've argued for years now that none of that's true. Their plan, their future, their idea of what's going to happen in their personal future as these corporations is that they're going east the way the East Coast went west when we first founded this country. And it's going to be just about as brutal in their going east. The companies now are netting, in this second quarter, the largest profit margins in their corporate history. And we're talking about $1 trillion just in non-financial institutions sitting there. But the money is not coming back to America. Americans aren't being hired. And finally, Robert Reich, who fully was aware of this trend back when I was speaking on it, when Clinton was in office, he was labor secretary. He certainly had to know, but here it is from Robert Reich himself. GM, who was one of the ones that received $30 billion in bailout money, they now sell more cars in China than they do in the U.S., whereas they used to employ 468,000 Americans, mostly in Detroit, but around the United States in 1970. They only employ 52,000 hourly workers in the United States. They employed 30,000 hourly workers in China. And that's a trend that the American people are going to have to face. I don't believe there's any interest in Congress in trying to address the problem and get back the bailout money that's been given to banks and corporations. The money is not coming back to the Treasury. In fact, it's going overseas to pay off the bank's own debts. And their debts, including things like derivatives, which caused the financial crisis. We were told it was the foreclosures and the housing bubble. That, of course, has now been completely refuted. It's been the derivatives market and hedge funds that needed to be bailed out. And most of the hedge funds are in the Cayman Islands.
Explain the derivatives for us, Craig, and how it functions.
Well, in essence, this is really hard. I've tried to get financial analysts for years to come up with a simple explanation of
I know, but it's tough.
It's purposely meant. Some of them say it's purposely meant to be so muddled that the public will never quite get their mind around it. So the simplest way to explain derivatives is the term. It derives from, deriving from. Hedge funds are the largest players in the derivatives market, but the hedge funds are owned by the largest banks. Goldman Sachs is the largest player in derivatives. Thus, they're all over the news these days because that's what the bailout was about. Their hedge funds that they run in the Cayman Islands suffered the worst losses in derivatives. Basically what it is, it's betting on whether currencies or commodities will go up or down over a very small period of time. It can be literally just within 4 or 5 minutes.
Jeez.
But that trading, that ability to trade with new software, and Goldman Sachs designed the software, so they would be within 4 seconds of any announcement of a trade figure on their board, they could trade up or down, buy or sell. And what this is they're betting. They're selling the price, they're selling the product, the derivative as a product to other buyers. Now, the total amount of derivatives trading, nobody really knows, but the estimates are $750 trillion. And, of course, they're untaxed.
Of course. It's in the Cayman Islands, right?
Because they're in the Cayman Islands. They remain untaxed. Now, interestingly enough, when Obama led the charge with his reform bill, 5-1 lobbyists, 5-1 for every congressman, remained there until midnight. And at midnight, they voted on the Wall Street reform bill. The one thing that was completely left out was any interest in regulating what?
The Cayman Islands.
derivatives is completely not in the reform bill, and that was the single most important aspect of the bill. All the rest of the regulatory devices within the reform bill will affect Main Street banks, smaller banks. They will not be able to suffer the regulatory advancements that the largest bank lobbyists put forward in the reform bill. The largest banks will be able to handle the regulatory advance. And, of course, when the small banks get in trouble, the large banks will buy the small banks. And Craig, the money will continue to be traded in derivatives.
Bring it down now to our level. You know, the folks who are working, law enforcement, hospitals, nurses, security people, construction, truck drivers, people who are working, people who are unemployed. Bring this mess now down to our level.
Well, if you're lucky enough to be employed, and that's an enormously small figure at this point, unemployment is now almost the level it was at the Great Depression. And this is something that I talked about on your show, and we got a lot of phone calls, by the way, just by mentioning this. But this was in the early stages in Chase, J.P. Morgan Chase, Bank of America, and, of course, American Express led the charge in suddenly out of nowhere deciding that by restructuring how they looked at your credit score, if you paid $10,000 to pay off your credit card, they would come back at you and cancel the card.
That's right, or reduce the credit dramatically.
Or reduce the credit line to what you paid. If you owed $10,000, paid $5,000, they would reduce your credit line right down to $5,000. In other words, they're eliminating available credit to the American people. They're calling in business loans that have not defaulted. They haven't missed payments, but they're calling the notes, and the money of those notes were due this year in July, and they went after those banks, went after those companies, and now small companies are failing right and left.
Why are they doing this?
Why are they doing it? Well, it seems that question comes up because a lot of people just go, why would they do that? America's the most prosperous nation. We're the biggest consumers on the planet. But that's because you're looking at yourself almost from a universal American narcissism. We look at ourselves and say, but aren't we the finest, most moral people in the world? And these are American banks. Why wouldn't they loan us money so we can keep buying more and more stuff? Well, they're bankers. Let's be honest. They're bankers, and they have no allegiance to the American people, the American continent, just the shareholders. And in a very serious way, the future of the world that they look at is fundamentally different from the way you and I look at it. They see the real marketplace, and to simplify it, is China. There's a billion people that don't have cars. There's a billion people that have not gotten home loans to buy homes. And most of the cars now sold by General Motors, they're sold in China. They're built in China. And we're going to see that repeated in every area of the economy that matters. And I always use that word, that matters.
It's a new market for them, and they're going after it.
And they're going after it. Does that mean they're going to abandon the American market entirely? No, not entirely. I thought it was interesting right before you brought me up on the air. Wasn't there a GM story about selling some odd, innovative automobile that's priced higher than their Cadillac?
Yeah, yeah.
So if you're really, really rich, you might be able to purchase one of those.